Father, thank you for the privilege you give us to serve you, to be in your forever family. It's quite a privilege. And I pray now as we look into a portion of your holy word, I pray that the words of our mouths and the meditation of our hearts might be acceptable in your sight. Bless the word as it goes forth. In the beautiful, powerful, matchless name of Jesus, amen. I want to ask you a question. Do you thirst to know God? You're here at Cedarville University, and all that you do centers around the Word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And sometimes, because we are around something so much, sometimes we become a little too familiar with whatever it is. And so I ask you the question, do you thirst to know God? United States Marine Corporal Bob Banner got separated from his platoon during Desert Storm. He wandered for 48 hours hiding from the enemy, evading Iraqi scouts, hiding under sand in the desert. He was found by Allied forces who happened to have reporters with them. And as Corporal Banner recounted his story to the reporters, he was seen gulping down water at a very brisk rate. One reporter commented, "You sure are thirsty." And Corporal Banner replied, "You know what? I was so busy running, hiding, and trying to save my life until I forgot I was thirsty." We can get so wrapped up in our studies. We can get so wrapped up in our family responsibilities. We can get so wrapped up in whatever else it is that you have to do until we forget to thirst after God. Locate for me in your Bibles, on your phones, whatever you have, 1 Kings chapter 17. And please listen while I read into your hearing verses 1 through 7. 1 Kings chapter 17. And Elijah the Tishbite of the inhabitants of Gilead said to Ahab, "As the Lord God of Israel lives, before whom I stand, there shall be no dew nor rain these years except at my word." Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Get away from here and turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. And it will be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning and bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. And it happened after a while that the brook dried up because there had been no rain in the land. In our text for today, God's prophet Elijah somewhat appears out of nowhere. God simply introduces him in verse 1 as Elijah the Tishbite. God has a mighty task that he wants Elijah to accomplish for him. But first, as with each of his servants, when God has something major that he wants us to accomplish for him, he takes us to school. And he does that with Elijah. And he wanted Elijah in school that Elijah might discover some truths about him. We need to know who God is. We need to know about his person if we're going to be effective serving him. And I want to submit to you today that, speaking especially to those of you who are students, that God has brought you here. And Dr. White says, the school has you for about 1,000 days. And I believe that as you go through your time here, when you leave here and begin serving the Lord in whatever capacity you serve him, you're going to look back at these days as days of discovery. Why do I say that? You're going to discover some things about God. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be a mechanic. It doesn't matter whether you're going to be a pharmacist. It doesn't matter what you're going to be. God has you in his service. Because wherever he places you in that place for you to bring a divine perspective to that place. But before he places you there, he wants you to know, to discover some things about him so that you'll be confident and you'll be effective serving him wherever it is that he places you. Some of you are at the point in your journey with God that you desire to do some great things for him. So God has brought me here to tell you who want to do those great things for him, that before you can do the great things for him, there are some discoveries that you must make about him. Sometimes we get the cart before the horse. We go out and we have all this enthusiasm, but we don't have the foundation, the undergirding that we need. And Cedarville is a great place to get that. I want to share with you three discoveries that you must make about God as you prepare to finish your studies and leave here and go out wherever it is that God will send you. First of all, you must discover God's requirements. God's requirements. Look at verses 2 and 3. The scripture says, "Then the word of the Lord came to him saying, 'Get away from here, turn eastward and hide by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan.'" In the Canaanite religion, it was the god Baal who supposedly had authority over the rain, but Elijah has announced to the king that there's not going to be any rain. This god Baal who supposedly had authority over the rain, but God is going to prove to Elijah and to apostate Israel that he alone is sovereign. That it is he alone who's in control of the situations, the events, and the circumstances of life. God wants his servants to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he is in control of all things. The prophet Elijah and you, by way of application, are about to make a discovery about God, and you're going to learn of God's requirements. Now, I ask you, what exactly are those requirements that God has for us? First of all, you must go. Get away from here, the scripture says. Leave here. In order to understand God's requirement of Elijah, you got to remember that in verse 1, he had told the king that there was going to be no dew or rain for a few years. No dew, no rain means drought. No king wants to face a problem of drought in his country. And when the land would become desperate for water, King Ahab would come looking for Elijah. And God, who can't learn anything, has some things he wants Elijah to accomplish for him. So he commands his prophet, get away from here. Get away from Ahab's jurisdiction. There's some things that I have for you to do. Now, God knows how to get between us and temptation. God knows how to get in the middle so that we don't have to do those things that we attempted to do. And sometimes with God in the middle, we kind of want what we want. And so even though God is there in between us and the temptation, we either ignore him or we evade him. But he knows how to get between us. God is working out his plan, and he's chosen Elijah to participate. And so Baal, the Canaanite god, was supposed to be in control of the rain, but God wants to use Elijah to show Israel that he's superior to their false god. He alone, God wants us to know, is in control of life situation. Ladies and gentlemen, God defends his name here on planet Earth. And in the midst of all that he does, God is concerned about his name. And you who name the name of Christ, you represent him. And he wants people to see and understand his person rightly. And there are times when we don't obey him and we don't do what he says that we give people a wrong view of him. But he wants Elijah to be sure, and he wants you and I to be sure that we know his person so that we can represent him well. So God required Elijah to go or get away from Ahab's presence and wait for further instruction. Notice also in verse 3 that God not only requires Elijah to go, he requires him to go in the right direction and go to the right place. God gives us instructions, ladies and gentlemen, and he tells Elijah, I want you to go. In verse 3, he says, turn eastward. He doesn't just tell him to go. He tells him where he wants him to go. Going east would take him out of Ahab's jurisdiction, away from the influence of that evil king. God required his servants to go and go in the direction that he commanded him. And as I think about the command to go and the command to go in the right direction to the right place, I know that God has told some of you to go. God has spoken to your heart to get away from some things that are causing you to compromise his word. There are some things that you're involved in, and he doesn't want you involved in those things, and he's told you to get away, to leave. You have some friends who enjoy sin, and God has told you to go, get away. They influence you to get involved in sin. And God has said, go. Get away from those activities that cause you to flirt with sin. Sin is dangerous, ladies and gentlemen. Sin is the most expensive thing in the universe. It cost God his son. It cost the Lord Jesus his very life. And God doesn't want us flirting with sin. So God says to you as students, and God says to you, some of you as faculty, there are some people that you enjoy, but they love to flirt with sin. And so he says, go. Get away from those groups that influence you to go along with what they say and do that's not right. There are some of your fellow students who are popular, and you want to be around the popular people. For some of you, there's a young lady that has gathered your attention. Others of you, a young man who has gathered your attention, but they are involved in sin. And God says there's something you need to decide as you discover who I am. I want you to know that I don't approve of what that person does. And because I don't approve, you should not approve. So you need to go. You need to get away. Standing here on this stage, if I were to call you up here, you can pull me off the stage much easier than I can pull you on the stage. And sometimes we have this idea that if we just keep trying, we can turn this person from the sin. Now, don't get me wrong. We do need to help our brothers and sisters who are involved in sin. But you need to find a safe distance. You need to find a safe distance. God is sending Elijah all the way down by the brook, Cherith, a safe distance from the temptation that he'll face when the land needs water and the king is looking for him. And so God wants you to love your friend, love your loved one, but he says, find that safe distance, so that you don't get involved in what they're doing. And the question is, who do you love the most? Do you love God Or do you love that popular student? That person who has caught your attention and makes your heart throb? If you're going to use these 1,000 days that you have here at Cedarville wisely, there are these discoveries that you got to make about God. And if you're struggling with God's requirement to go and to get away, I want you to permit me to give you the remedy. Because the third part of God's requirement is hiding yourself. Get alone with God. Look at our text in verse 3 again. Where did the Lord direct Elijah to go and hide himself? By the brook Cherith that flows into the Jordan. See, brooks flow through ravines, and brooks and streams are known to represent quiet places, peaceful places. And ladies and gentlemen, two things each person must discover about God if they want to be used to accomplish great things for him. First of all, you got to discover who Jesus Christ is. And secondly, you got to discover who you are. And discovering who Jesus Christ is will help you to know who you are. You can't know who you are outside of Jesus Christ. Now, when you ease away from the crowd, when you go or you get away from the crowd and focus your attention on hearing from God, you'll find it easier to discern the voice of God. See, our world likes a lot of noise. And I like some noise once in a while. Now, don't get me wrong. As they were singing, that's noise, good noise. That's the kind of noise I like. I don't like noise just for noise. I have a relative, and for a period of time when I was very young, I lived with them. And he would come in the evening, and he'd turn on the TV, then he'd go in the kitchen, and he'd turn on the radio, and he'd go in his bedroom, he'd turn on the TV. He's not watching any of this stuff, he's just got all this noise going. And I wanted some peace and quiet, because I was in school and I needed to study. So I had to leave and go to the library to study. The world likes noise, but you'll find it easier to get alone with God, be quiet. And when you spend that time alone with him and focus your attention on being more intimate with the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll find out that, ladies and gentlemen, you'll discover who Jesus Christ is. And in doing so, you'll find out who you truly are. There was a prophet in Isaiah chapter 6. He went in the temple one day, and he said he saw the Lord high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. And then he described the scene about the cherubim and the seraphim. And then he said, "Woe is me, for I'm undone." His vision of God in all his splendor, his vision of God and seeing God for who he really is, helped him to realize who he truly was. And it'll do the same thing for you. And as you open the Word of God or on your tablet or whatever you have, and you look into the pages of Scripture and allow God to speak to you and get intimate with you, you'll begin to see who he is, and in turn, you'll see who you are. Students, please don't use your schoolwork as your devotional time. That's not devotional time. Have a time when you get alone with God for you. God is saying to some of you today, students, faculty, administration, he's saying, "I need some time with you." He's saying, "I miss you. You haven't been keeping our appointments." When we make appointments with God, God shows up. But do we? He's missing you. And he's calling you back today to your time with him. Sent me all the way from Syracuse to tell you that. Isn't that amazing? The second discovery that you must make about God if you're going to do great things for him, you got to discover God's assurance. In verse 4 of our text, and it shall be. And it shall be. And it shall be that you shall drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. Verse 4 says, and it will be. Because God knows what our future holds, he first gives us his requirements, and then he gives us a promise or his assurance. Notice that in verse 4, God says, and it will be, it shall be, it shall be, it will be. Now, I want you to know this, beloved, ladies and gentlemen. You can depend on God to keep his promises. There's a verse in the Bible that's dear to me. It's Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. Because it tells me that it is impossible for God to lie. Not only can God not lie, it's impossible. Absolutely impossible. Therefore, from Genesis to maps, yeah, the maps too. This is his word, and what he says is true. The Bible says it's impossible for God to lie. Oh, the first time I read that and it really gripped me. What a truth. To know that God's word is infallible, inerrant. He can't lie. Now, because God is dependable, because he cannot lie, because he's God, because he's trustworthy, his promises bring assurance. There's so much we don't know, and yet we have a God who knows everything and knows everything as well as he knows everything else. Psalm 119 verse 105 teaches us that God's word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our paths. You know, if you're on a road and you have a flat and it's dark, there's no street lights, when you get out of the car, you don't need to know what's way down the road. You need to know where to put your foot. And so you get your flashlight. You don't shine it down the road. You shine it down so you can see where to take the next step. God's word, his promises, are a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our paths. We need someone to tell us where to take the next step. And oftentimes, we need assurance before we'll take that next step. And so God gives us his requirements, and then he gives us his assurance so we'll take that next step. Someone rightly said, put everything in God's hands and eventually you'll see God's hand in everything. Take your life and place it at his feet. Let him have your life. Let him have your time, your 1,000 days here at Cedarville. Give them to God. Let him have him, and I guarantee you he'll do some things in your life that will prepare you to wherever it is he's going to take you. I went to school the second time when I was 38 years old. I was an old man, married, and I was sitting in class with these 18 and 19-year-olds who knew everything. I didn't know anything, and they knew everything. And it was embarrassing at times, the truth that they knew because they had been to Christian school and all those things. I didn't grow up in that situation. But God says, just spend time with me, and I'll teach you those things. And so I committed my life to him, and he taught me a lot of things. God wants you and me to have the God and me perspective. The God and me perspective. You know what that is? It simply says that with him, we can do anything. With God, anything he wants us to do, we can do. God said to his servant Elijah, get away from here, turn eastward, hide by the brook Cherith, which flows in the Jordan. And it'll be that you shall drink from the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed you there. And God expects Elijah to find assurance in his words, and it will be, because I said so. The third discovery you've got to make, and I'll do this quickly. You've got to discover man's answer. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, he drank from the brook. And I say to you, as you discover more and more about God, you've got to discover man's answer to God's requirements and God's assurance. What should man's answer be? Think about that. What should it be? There's only one right answer, and that's obedience. And in verse 5, so he went and did according to the word of the Lord, for he went and stayed by the brook Cherith, which flows into the Jordan. Elijah obeyed God, and we can see the benefits. Verse 6 says, the ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, bread and meat in the evening, and he drank from the brook. He had the necessities. Ladies and gentlemen, never fear obeying God, because there are always benefits to obeying God's commands. If you're a freshman here, you have a little less than 1,000 days to discover these truths about God. Upperclassmen, you have even less time. So don't procrastinate. Get started right away spending time with God. Opening up your life to him that he might teach you those things and you can discover those things he wants you to discover. And as we discover more and more about God, he expects us to believe him and to trust that even though we're going down by the brook Cherith, and even though we don't like the fact that the dirty birds are going to be the ones that feed us, God expects us to be assured that we can trust his commands, which always lead to obedience. If we obey God, if we learn the truths about him that we need to learn and obey him, that's the only way when you leave here, you'll be able to do great things for him. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Bless it to our hearts, in Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, and consider yourselves dismissed.